Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And how are you wonderful people this evening?
Wonderful.
That's the way to be. Well, as usual, I have great news for you. I have good news for you.
Good.
You always have been, and you always will be. There's absolutely no beginning, and there's no end. I don't know how many people in school have heard, matter can neither be created nor destroyed. All matter can do is change form. You and I are both made of matter. And we can transform ourselves. We can make a transition. But we always will be the same. We always were a divine idea in the mind of God. And we will always be a divine idea in the mind of God. There is no beginning, there is no end. This is very important to grasp, that you're always going to be somewhere, that you can't be destroyed, that you will continue, that your consciousness will continue, that your life will continue. The only thing on this plane of action that happens is we lose these bodies. But we are not our bodies, and we are not our minds. I would like to read something. There is great freedom in the realization that I have a body and I have a mind, rather than I am my body or my mind. Once the fear of death is transcended, life becomes a transformed experience because that particular fear underlies all others. Few people know what it is to live without fear. But beyond fear lies joy, as the meaning and purpose of existence become transparent. Once this realization occurs, life becomes effortless, and the source of suffering dissolves. Suffering is only the price we pay for our attachments. Fear underlies all our worries, all our troubles, all our difficulties. And the world that we live in, if we listen to the world, it is very convincing, and it will teach you fear. And this is what we learn to give up, is fear. We have to know that we're always protected. We're always divinely guided. That this thing that we call God never gives up with us. It's always with us. That the creation and the creator are one in the same. So give up all types of worry, all types of fear. You can be concerned about something. I always recommend that everyone change their vocabulary from I'm worried about something to I'm concerned about something. When you're concerned about something, it never conjures up an emotion. When you worry about something, you immediately start to conjure up some type of emotion, which will make you anxious. But if you're concerned about something, you can just be concerned about it, and you can detach yourself from it. When you worry, you're attaching yourself to your difficulty, to your problem. But you can be concerned about it and look at it in a completely different way, in a completely different light. That is what this teaching is really all about, looking at something differently, in a different direction. Everyone has heard that little Christian thing that says, turn the other cheek, which people have interpreted over the centuries to mean, if somebody slaps you on one side of the cheek, you turn your cheek and allow them to slap you on the other side. Now, how idiotic can you get? That is just plain stupid. That does not mean that. Metaphysically, to turn the other cheek means look. in a different direction. Turn your mind in a different direction. And that's all life is about. If I sit here and I have garbage on this side of me and beautiful flowers on that side, why would I want to turn my cheek to that side? You wouldn't want to. You look in this direction. You look in the direction of the good in life. Always. And you change your view about that. That's what we're here to do, to change our viewpoints, our opinions, our thoughts, and our beliefs. We're here to do that. I hear many people say, well, this is what I believe, and I believe that because my parents always believed that. Most things are an accident of birth. You're born into the religion. You're born into the politics. You're born into your financial outlook. But you can change those. That's just it's not necessary to do the same things that your parents did. I'll tie this in quickly with a little race mind alert for Save on Drugs. Save on Drugs says, the woman says, I can't find a Save on Drugs store, and I'd have to find a Save on Drugs store because my mother always used a Save on Drugs store, and my grandmother always used a Save on Drugs store, and I've got to find a Save on Drugs store. I can't do Rite Aid because my belief is in Save-On, because it always has been. My family is a Save-On person. You see how easily we fall into those things? We fall into those things. Don't do that. Don't fall into the fear. Don't fall into the belief systems of other people. If your parents gave you, or where you grew up, and how you grew up, and the environment you grew up in, wasn't what it should be, you have the power now to change that. And you can change anything. And if you think that your environment and the way you were brought up has not influenced you, I would suggest this. Think a moment. If you were born on the French Riviera, and you were raised by lesbians, wouldn't your whole outlook be different in life? Your whole outlook would be different. You can change your outlook anytime you want to change your outlook. That's the power that we have. And that's how you get what you want out of life, by changing yourself. Never by changing anything on the outside of life. You have to go within, and you have to change any part of you that is not getting you what you want in life. Life changes all getting the finances that you want. So I'll just keep tying in with this race mind and finances. And if you think you're not influenced constantly by the world outside, you have to be very alert. That's why I call these race mind alerts. The gas company has a wonderful commercial out now. It says, turn down your thermostat and you can save money that you can spend. And if you get new efficient appliances, you'll save even more money, which you can spend. People think that. They hear that. If you're saving money, you cannot spend it. You don't have it. Save all this money so you can spend it. No, that is not. That's complete race mind. Does anyone remember Benjamin Franklin? A penny saved is a penny earned. A penny saved is a penny earned. Took me years to figure out what that meant. But I'm learning every day. You have to learn these different things. All the things that we know about money, we have learned from other people. How many people here went to the bank and got money wrappers? Whoops, we forgot.
You're collecting your stack.
But when you go to the bank, ask for money wrappers. They're little bands that you put around money. They come in five, they come in hundreds, fives, thousands, 2,000s, and 10,000 wrappers. Ask the person for them. And if he asks where your money is, tell him you have it at home and you're bringing it to him. But get your money wrappers out and look at them and feel them and all so that you can get that. How many people here know this one? Pay yourself first. How many people here pay themselves first? You see, most people pay the lights, the gas, the phone, the rent. They pay everybody else. They don't pay themselves. You must always pay yourself first. Always pay yourself first. And then let the other stuff take care of itself. And it will take care of itself if you give up the worry. If you give up the fear that it's not going to. And if you put your faith in your belief system in the only source there is, and the only source there is God. God is the source of every good on this plane of action and throughout the entire universe. We keep getting confused and think that it comes from our jobs or it comes from this, that, or the other thing. So when the job stops, you think your source has dried up. The source of prosperity, abundance, including money, never dries up. There's always money there. Always money there. And you must start to think of that. And you must start to think of all the money there is in the world and how much everyone has of money. And then you must know that it's yours. And you must start claiming it as yours. Instead of saying so-and-so has it, be able to say, I have it. I have it. And not in a greedy way, but in a way that you can take care of yourself, that you can have fun with your life. We are here on this plane of action to have fun. To enjoy ourselves. We're not here to suffer. Many people think that we're here to suffer. We are here to learn something. But we do not have to do it through suffering. The people who do it through suffering are convinced by the world because the world only teaches suffering. It will not teach anything but that. It teaches suffering. It teaches failure. It does not teach success. And it never will. So don't listen to it. But know that you are successful already. You have to always start with the idea that you already are what you want. There's an old saying that I love, what you're looking for, you are looking with. We're all looking for something, and we're looking out there, but we're looking with the thing that we want. It's in us, but we get confused and think it's someplace else. But you'll find everything within inside of you. And you'll find that security inside of you. and you'll find your money inside of you. Because you are your money. You are everything. Because your consciousness extends outward through everything that surrounds you. That's your consciousness. And you are causing everything that's around you. Remember, I take credit for anything good that happens within a 100-mile radius of myself. You have to know that you're causing these things. But things are always happening because you're there and that you are causing them. This is the power that you have. This is that whole idea when I say every week, all that you are is God, but you are not all that God is. You have to know that you have that power and that you are not stealing that power from God. And there isn't going to be a lightning bolt hit you because you're using God's power. There's only one power, only one life, only one God. And you are that. And you can use that. People are looking for power outside of themselves. There is no power outside of you. There's only power within you. And all power is in the present moment. You cannot have power in the past and you cannot have power in the future. All power is in the present moment. And you always start with the present moment. And you move forward from there. What happens? Why that doesn't work for people? They remember the past. And they drag the past up here. The past is the past. That's why it's called the past. Not a damn thing you can do about it. The only thing you can do about the past is look at it differently. You have to look at it differently. And it may have been horrible. But you have to look at it differently. Because if you live in the past, you're going to completely suffer what you were going through at that time. So all power is in the present moment. So if you say to yourself right here and right now, I am rich, that's where you start. You start from this moment, and you don't allow your mind to tell you that you're not. How many people remember Mary Baker Eddy? Remember what Mary said? You must argue with your mind. Like a lawyer before a judge. And you must always make sure that you win. You must always make sure that you win. You must never allow your mind to win. And that is what happens with us all. We allow our minds to convince us. We allow our mind to take us down the wrong road. And then we don't get what we want. Tonight's topic is discipline. And we're going to get to how we discipline ourselves to think correctly so that these things do not happen to us and so the things that we want happen to us. But the whole idea is to learn to give up fear and to give up the fear of death. And you think that that has any power over you whatsoever. That is a process. And in order to leave this plane of action, most people go through that. Unless you can develop your consciousness high enough to ascend. But it's a process. And it's not a frightening process. And it's the only process to get where you want to go to the next step. to the next experience in your life. The next experience in your life. So give up any fear of death whatsoever, and you will see a wonderful change in yourself. You really will, because then you can be happy. You don't have to worry about that. Also, if anyone hears, you don't think at the end that there's a judgment day and that somebody's judging you. I hope not. That's a bunch of bunk, you know. Complete twaddle. Complete twaddle. You're not going to be judged. This thing that we call God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never does. Okay? So with that said, I have a few more race mind things. I have to look at them here. Oh, I know. Two of them. The movies. I hear on the thing that Happy Feet beat out the new James Bond movie. They were in competition, the guy says on the radio. And they were fighting for first place. Everyone can be in first place. You have to realize that. This idea of the world always telling you that you must fight to get to the top, that you must fight to be number one, is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Don't believe any of that. And stop using all this idea of war terms all the time. If somebody isn't talking war terms, meaning fight, all that stuff, they're using games, football, basketball, tennis, the ball's in your court. This is a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- is. Don't do that to yourself. But give up any war terms that you think something's against you, that something you have to fight for something. You do not have to fight for anything. You have to know that it is yours. What does that mean? You have to know that it's yours. What is yours by right of consciousness has to be yours. You have to convince yourself that you are worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. And then you don't have to fight for anything. It comes to you. You have to know that it's yours. And you don't have to fight anybody for it. And all the movies can be number one. All the movies can be number one. They do it by one made 42 million and one made 40 million. We're 2 million off somewhere. But the idea is every movie could come out on that weekend, wherever they do that, every movie could make 4 million. Every movie could make the same amount. But somewhere in somebody's consciousness, there's a fight going on. And we have to compete. And we have to be number one. Instead of saying, everyone can be number one. Everyone can have the same thing. There is enough money to go around. You think there's not an extra 2 million to go over here and add to this so that both came out 42 million? No, somebody thinks, oh no, we won't get that 2 million because it's already used up. It's not used up. Money's never used up. There's tons of money. Tons of money. Everyone can win. Everyone can win. Doesn't matter. Then, I heard this one. A young lady was saying to her mother, "Oh, I'm not feeling so good. I think I have the flu." And the mother said, "Oh, I don't think it's time for that yet." Meaning it was too early in the season. "I don't think it's time for that." Yeah. Can you imagine? That's all race mind. That's complete race mind. And this year, because of the warm weather and so forth, they'll say, "Oh, it's late. You know, we may get it in the spring this year." And then they'll say, "That was an unusual year. The flu arrived late. It took a detour someplace else. And then it arrived here." It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Here's a young lady who says she never gets the flu. That's a wonderful affirmation. Instead of fearing the flu, why don't you make a statement, "I never get the flu. My body is strong and healthy. My body remains strong and healthy. My immune system knows exactly what to do. I never get the flu." That's up to you. It's up to you. If you want to get the flu. I have a friend, Beverly, she went to get the flu shot and she couldn't get it from her doctor. The doctor said, "You go down to the drugstore. I think they're giving them shots there," and it was $25. She said, "I don't mind paying the $25. She said, "I think I'll take this flu shot." She read the little things and it said the mixture that it's made in is mercury. And so she said to the nurse, she said, "Now listen, I want to ask you something. This mercury that's in here, isn't mercury connected with Alzheimer's?" And the nurse said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I don't think I'm going to take it." Beverly's 83. She said, "I don't think I'm going to take it this year." And the nurse said, "I think that's a good idea." And they just pass this stuff out. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that. Don't do that. I know that Reva has a race mind alert. So, tell your race mind alert.
Well, I've got two now that you talked about, death and discipline. But the first one that I called you yesterday, I was watching Bill Maher the other night, and Dan Rather was on. And Bill Maher has always admired him, and so he said, you know, I gave him all these accolades, and Dan Rather let him finish, and then he said, "Well, thank you very," he said, "I'm very undeserving, but much appreciative." Well, then I finished watching the tape, and Bill Maher, at the end, he said, "And by the way, you're very deserving of it," or something like that. So he corrected him by saying, "No, you are deserving, and I want to give you this compliment." And then the other one, when you were talking about death, remember when I was in Indiana, and you know, I just took my mother's ashes back last month for the internment, and I'd ordered the lettering and everything, but I walked up to where my dad's crypt is, and my mother's lettering was already there, and it had the year on it, and it just kind of really freaked me out. So I was crying, and I went back to the car, and I immediately called Dallas, and he was home. And I said, "Oh, it just seems so final." And he said, "Because that's what the world tells us it is." And then we proceeded to do about 15 minutes of work, and he gave me some direction. I followed it. I went and did what he said, and it was absolutely amazing. And the whole no longer fearing death, because, you know, being with my mother when she was making her transition, and Dallas was right there with me, and he said, "You're going to do this, and you're going to do this," and I simply followed the directions. And it was something that in the past I would say, "You have got to be fucking kidding me," because, oops, whoever's listening, edit that. Because there's no way I could do that. But, you know, I follow the directions that Dallas gives me, and they work. And but my mom and dad never taught me to fear death. But then being with you while she was making that transition,
she's ready to go.
I can go anytime. I mean, you know, and I say that not like because I'm going to make it happen, but I just don't have any fear, because it's like you say, okay, the bedroom's in the next room, right? Can you see the bedroom? No. But the bedroom's still there. Yes. So is your mother, or whomever it might be for anybody. Class is over.
They're just in another room. Do you have a question?
I have a question. When she was talking about Dan Rather and him saying, thank you for the accolades, but I don't deserve them, how is it that somebody who feels like they're so undeserving, how do they attract that? Like, how do they attract success when they're feeling so undeserving? Because there are a lot of people who do that.
Yes.
I mean, I think of a lot of actors who are constantly attracting success and all these things and are feeling completely unworthy and not deserving and not lovable.
Right.
Because they're overachievers. And in order for them to feel good, they have to keep doing this, getting one accolade after the other from the outside world to try to prove to themselves that they are worthy. But they have never worked on their inside. So they never really will become worthy. They will never think that they are worthy of anything.
So it's like all of that passion, that like need to succeed overrides the feeling of undeserving?
They deliberately do that to override it. They know that, and they think, if I really work, and if I keep achieving, and if I overachieve, and if I get this award and that award, I will finally feel worthy.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes an addiction. And they have to keep doing it in order to have that little moment that they think that they'll feel worthy. But after all that time, they still didn't feel worthy. I was at the print shop today picking up those little cards, and I said to the man, oh, thank you, you always do such good work. And he said to me, well, sometimes. I said, you always do good work. He said, well, I said, you always do good work. Finally, he said, oh, yes, we do. I said, thank you. People will not do that. Do not do that to yourself. Remember, if somebody gives you a compliment, you say to them, thank you for noticing. Thank you for noticing. Oh, you shouldn't. Oh, I'm don't do that to yourself.
You also said yesterday along those lines that we think that's humility and that we should say,
yes.
Oh, I don't deserve it.
We think in polite society, which they call polite society, that you have to do that, that you have to play everything down, you see, because you have to have humility, you know, and you have to be meek. Remember, the meek are going to inherit the earth. Because no one else wants it. Don't be meek. Be bold. And mighty forces will come to your aid. Always be bold.
Well, you know that's true, because everyone that has 10 or 20 or $100 million to throw away trying to get in the space shuttle and get out.
Yes. They're trying to leave.
They're trying to leave.
So that's my race mind alerts for tonight. So we'll start as we always do with spiritual mind treatment. And when I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. You're taking time out to know what the universe or this thing we call God already knows about us. We are affirming or reaffirming what is already known. And this is what I believe and accept for myself. I am truly one with the only power in the universe, and that power is a power for good, and that power courses through me right here and right now, and it attracts to me only good. And I allow it to do that. I am pleased that it does that. I am happy that it does that. I am thrilled that it does that. Because it takes the pressure off of me. And what better way to do it? So I accept that, knowing that I deserve it. And I allow prosperity and abundance and money to flow to me freely. And I let that be so, and so it is. Tonight's topic, discipline. There, You cannot succeed in life without discipline of some sort. Everything you do requires discipline. When you went to school, you had to discipline yourself to study. If you wanted to have a career or a talent, you had to discipline yourself in that particular art that you were studying and that you wanted to be. All creative people know about discipline. All people should know about discipline. This is one thing that the world will teach you. The world will teach you discipline. But the discipline we're talking about here is the discipline that you have with your own thinking, with your own mind. You have to start disciplining your mind. Your mind is like a wild horse, and every time you try to tame it and jump on its back, it will buck you off. It will buck you off. You have to learn to tame your mind, to discipline your mind, so that you are able to think what we call think rightly, which means see the good in yourself. See the good in all things. And don't allow your mind to tell you differently, to take you down that road, to keep telling you that same story over and over and over again. You have to stop your mind from doing that. I know I always say that the world is very convincing. So is your mind. So is your mind. But when you come to the point where you realize that you're not your mind, that you can control your mind, that it's here for you to use, then you can start disciplining and then not allowing it to run wild. Your mind will come up with 130,000 different scenarios for the exact same thing. You can't do that to yourself. Most of the things that we think about never come true. Most of the things that we think about are not real, and they will never become real. But yet we keep letting our minds take us in that direction. Your whole life is built on your mind. You think that you live on the outside, but you live on the inside of life. You live in your mind. You live internally. All the stuff that's going on the outside is just a reflection of what's going on in the inside. We are looking into mirrors, thousands and thousands of mirrors. That's all we're doing here. All the things on the outside of life is an illusion. So when we learn to discipline our minds and we learn to figure that out, our life changes also. But we must make it a habit to discipline our minds. How many people have been coming here now for 4 or 5 years? You could say that you're in metaphysics, which is a true statement. But now metaphysics must be in you. You must become this teaching so that you know the difference and not use it just every once in a while or just for a little lark now and then to get a parking space, a theater ticket, this, that, the other thing. Speaking about theater tickets, I forgot to tell you. Remember last week when I was upset for the extra $7, $26 ticket and $7 extra on it? And as soon as I was able to release that and let that go and say that, when I got to the theater, they handed me tickets. I just took them. Thank you very much. When I handed them to the usher, I discovered that they were $48 tickets and that I was in the orchestra. Don't ask. I said, thank you very much. Just when you let things go, things come to you.
How do you know that when you get the bill, you haven't been charged $48?
Ah, because I already paid the bill. Remember, I pay always right up front.
This is a bill that hasn't come in yet, though.
Pardon? Oh, yes, it came in. It's always, I have used a debit card, and everything is taken out immediately. I do not carry credit, people. Credit has a negative connotation to it. And I do nothing in my life that's negative. I'm not saying don't use credit cards. I'm saying I don't. There's a difference. You have to use credit, use it, but you have to use it wisely. I just don't use it. A man called me the other day and said, you could refinance, I could give you $100,000. I could just give you $100,000. And he said, just think you could pay off your car. I said, my car is paid for, thank you. Plunk down the damn phone. All day long, people want to give you money. I said, I want you to pay it back. That's what I don't like. I love getting the money. I don't want to pay it back. Discipline. Your thinking. This teaching boils down to the idea that you learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. And you learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. And you do that by controlling your thinking, by disciplining yourself. I only allow thoughts in my mind that heal, bless, and prosper me. Any other thought that comes into my mind, I immediately say, go out. Leave now. Get out of here. I don't entertain those thoughts. And I used to love to entertain them. They were fun. You know, you could just, come up with all kinds of scenarios that could drive you half crazy. But you don't do that to yourself. You see, you could always change your thinking. It's not concrete. And you do not have to go down any line of thinking. You do not have to go down any line of thinking. But we do. And we allow our minds to do that to us. And then we wonder why we feel so bad and all. And we blame it on everything else. But it's always going to boil down to what are you thinking? And what are you thinking about yourself? Have you trained yourself now so that your mind always tells you how wonderful you are? How deserving you are? You have to train yourself so that that voice is telling you that and not something else. And I could tell you what your mind's probably telling you sometimes. But we've got a mic on. Learn to make your mind tell you what you want to hear about yourself. What you want to hear about yourself. Learn to fall in love with yourself. Learn to fall in love with yourself. I think Oscar Wilde said, learn to love yourself. It'll be the longest romance you ever have. The longest romance you'll ever have. I said earlier that we came to this plane of action, that we took on these forms, these physical forms which weigh us down, because we wanted to learn something. And we could not learn it in the state that we were in. So we took on these bodies, and we came to this plane of action to learn something. And what we came here to learn is this. We came here to learn to love ourselves and to see ourselves as we truly are, a part of the universe, a part of God, not separated from anything or anybody, that we're all one. That we're all one. Each and every one of us lives, moves, and has our being in the mind of God or in the life of God. And it's a wonderful thing. And it should be happy. And we should be happy about that. And we should be able to use that power. We should be able to use that power. How many times have I said people run around and say, oh, God's so mighty, God's this God, oh, mighty, mighty God. That's all well and good, but why don't we make God useful? God loves to be useful. I have a useful God. Yes, my God may be mighty, but my God is useful. What do I mean by God is useful? I use that power. I use that connection that I have to make my life better, to make other people's lives better. I use that to feel good about myself, to bring joy and happiness and bliss into my life. And I'm loving it. And each and every one of you can do the same thing. But your mind is telling you, oh, I couldn't do that. That isn't what I was taught as a child. My parents told me God's out to get me. My religion I went to, boy, they told me I have to suffer. And one day, if I'm really good, I'll go to heaven instead of that other place. There is no other place. There is no other place. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within. The kingdom of heaven is within each and every one of us. And the kingdom of heaven is right here and right now. How do I know that the kingdom of heaven is right here and right now? Because there's only the now, people. There's only the now. Heaven isn't someplace else waiting. It's here now. That was a bunch of twaddle when they told you it was someplace else. And when they told you you had to wait for it. And one day, if you were really good, you'd be home with God. You're always home with God. God is right here, right now, present. And you can always be connected to that. And you can always use that in your life. You can use that in your life. And it starts by disciplining your thinking. And sit down every day and tell yourself that you're connected. Tell yourself how wonderful you are. Tell yourself how much God loves you. Then tell yourself how much you love yourself for everything that you do. Even if you do something stupid, say, oops, I did something stupid, but I love myself. I do a lot of stupid things, but I love myself. You must love yourself regardless of what is happening, regardless of what you're doing, and regardless of what you're thinking. Because if you start to think in that other direction, your mind will destroy you. It will destroy you. Your mind is like a bad neighborhood. Don't go into it alone. Don't go into it alone. use your thinking in a productive way, in a right way, and your life will change. Everything about you will change. If you are not experiencing financial abundance right here and right now, you can make up your mind to do that. And you can make up your mind how? By, somebody kicked the bucket. You can do that by telling yourself right here and right now that you will no longer concentrate on the past, that you will no longer tell that same damn sad story over and over and over again. That's not only making you sick, it's making everybody else sick. Give up your stories. They're only stories, they're not real at all. They're just stories that you're telling, and you're convincing yourself that you're that story. And then you run out and you try to convince other people that you're that story. Don't do that to yourself. Think of yourself as a wonderful human being. And that you deserve everything. And that you can have everything. And it will come to pass. It has to. That's the way the universe works. That's the way God works. Anything that you want in life, you must become. Anything that you want in life, you must become. If you want a lover, you must become loving. If you want a particular type of lover, you must become that particular type of lover. If you want money, you must tell yourself every day that you are rich. And then you must live at that level of demonstration. And you must learn to live in opulence. And each person has their own idea of what that means. But you cannot wait. Treat yourself to something nice every day. And I don't mean Starbucks coffee. Buy a flower. I always have flowers in my home. Because they're beautiful to look at. If you can't afford a bunch of flowers, buy one bud. Borrow it from the neighbor's yard. Ask them if you can have one. But have something around. Don't wait till you think, well, I'll wait, and then when I get this, this, and this, then all these things, I'll have all these things. You won't. You won't. And if they come on you that fast, you won't keep them. Why won't you keep them? Because you're not used to them. You're not used to them. You have to make a connection with them. You have to become them also. Anything you want in life, you must become. You must become that. And then you have that. So, what you're looking for, you are looking with. And it requires discipline, mental discipline, controlling your thinking. And it can become fun. You can make it a fun game learning how to control your thinking. And you can get to laughing at your own self when your mind takes you someplace you don't want to go. But don't believe the mind. You see, it takes us down the road, and then we believe it. We say, oh, well, that's it. It's not it at all. Anytime something comes into your mind that you can't figure out, you have to ask yourself three questions. Is it true? Is it false? Or I don't know. And 100% of the time, it's always, I don't know. And the mind hates to live in I don't know. So it has to make it either true or false. Don't allow it to do that. You just took away all the possibilities when you did that. And you can't take away your possibilities. You can't take away your possibilities. We live in a universe of nothing but possibilities. Anything can happen. And you can make anything happen. Just because it hasn't happened before does not mean that it cannot happen. The world wants to tell you that because the world works sequentially. And the world always says it happened that way last year, so it will happen that way this year. We always have wars. We will always have wars. We've always done it this way and we'll always do it. It's time to stop that. You're in a teaching, which we call metaphysics, but it's also called New Thought. And it was called New Thought 2,000 years ago. And it does not mean the New Thought movement that is out there in the world also. It can be similar to that sometimes, but it's not. New Thought, the whole idea of New Thought, is the idea that you can change your mind about anything. That's the power that you have. And that you can make a choice. Do you want to look at the garbage? Or do you want to look at the garbage? Or do you want to look at the flower garden? That's what life is disciplining your mind and learning how to think correctly. And you can only do that through discipline. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you. Thank you.